Doug. Thank you, Ms. Susan. Let's take our Bible tonight and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to begin a little series on some things to consider tonight. And the book of Ecclesiastes is a great book Solomon wrote, and of his experience of life. And, you know, the greatest thing about being older is that you have life experiences that young people don't have. And, you know, an older person has a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of experiences to share with this younger generation. Now, the younger generation doesn't understand it or value it. But Solomon, remember, he was the wisest man that ever lived. And he had some things to say, and God allowed him to pin it down so that we, even in this 21st century, could hear what he had to say and make our lives better with it. And I believe, no doubt, that God allowed these things to help his people to be better in their daily lives. So let's look at Ecclesiastes 5. You found it. Say amen. We know you're there. Look in verse 1, and we'll stop there at verse number 8. It says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil." Now that's such an important statement there. When you come to the house of God, you got to be ready to hear. I'm amazed when people come to me for advice, and they won't stop talking. And I'm thinking, did you come to me for advice, or did you come to me to vent? Right? And I said, when you're done venting, if you can listen for a minute, I'll give you some advice. You know, there's nothing more frustrating than someone says, "Preacher, can I have your advice?" And then everything you say, they say, but. Okay, you didn't really want my advice. You want my approval is what you want. And approval is not what we need. We need good instruction is what we need. And when you come to church, we come to get what? Instruction. We come to hear the Holy Ghost instruct us and the Holy Spirit speak to us and to hear the message that God has given from heaven. "But be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in the fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For on the multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in the province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they." And what I want to take our text out of verse number 1, where it says, "For they consider not that they do evil." And what I want to preach on, probably this next couple weeks, few weeks, is some things to consider. Some things to consider. So let's pray, and we'll begin the message. Father, I do thank you for the word tonight, and I do pray you'd bless it. And God, it is important to consider some things from time to time in our life, and to make evaluations, and to see where we're at, where we've been, and where we're going. And God, everybody in life needs to do that. And God, I pray in the next few weeks, as we preach on this thought of some things to consider, God, that we'll all consider some things, and how important, Lord, the direction of our life is, and where it's going, and where it's taking us. Bless the word, and help me to bring it. And God, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, tonight, as I preach on this thought, some things to consider. The word consider means to fix your mind, on with a view of careful examination. Careful examination. If you're considering something, you're carefully examining it. To think on with care, to ponder, to study, to meditate. Now, we know that that's important. It's important in every area of our life to think about, you know, you ever hear someone say, "What were you thinking?" Well, most of the time they weren't, or they wouldn't have done it. I could hear the police officer, you know, he pulled me over, and I was going through a residential area, 70 mile an hour, and he says, "What were you thinking?" You know, the one police officer pulled me over, and I was younger, and I had a cowboy hat on. He says, "Howdy doody, cowboy." And I said, "Oh, I'm in trouble." He ain't letting me go. That's for certain, right? And he wanted me to run. And something inside of me wanted to run because I thought I could possibly get away. I did have a fast car. But I was smart enough to know you can't outrun the radio. You know, because where I was going to run, the police station was a block away. You know, you don't got to be a rocket scientist. That, you know, what were you thinking? One time I was drag racing by the Blue Ash police station, and we were going 100 and some miles on Reed Hartman Highway. And when I got done going 100 and some miles, I just got off a 90-day suspension of having my license revoked. And one of the boys at school, he pulled up next to me, and in the morning on the way to school, I was picking up Lisa, and I wanted to race. I did want to race, but I said, I can't race. So, but I got to school, and he said he blew my doors off. He's got this old Torino, four-door Torino. And I said, he's telling everybody he blew my doors off. I said, you didn't blow my doors off. I said, were we racing? I didn't even know we were racing. You're a piece of junk. I didn't know we were racing. Well, that was a challenge. Man, I couldn't wait for school to get over. Because then we were going to have a race. And we're both a bunch of dumb, stupid idiots because he lived right over there by the police station. So I saw him pull out and I caught up with him on Reed Hartman Highway. And I said, okay, let's race. And we raced from traffic light to traffic light because they were pretty far apart. And we caught a green light in between so we could get up there and speed. So the first thing, I beat him, hands down, beat him. I said, well, that wasn't good enough. We got to beat him the second time. And the race ended one block from the police station. And as we were racing, it came to me, what are you doing? Your license was just suspended. And the judge said, I better not see you in my courtroom again. You say, what was the problem? I wasn't thinking. I wasn't considering the cost of what we were doing. Now, I can say it was a lot of fun, but it was a lot of stupidity. Especially when you're racing in a residential area. People got killed on Reed Hartman Highway all the time, making left turns. And God protecting us that no one pulled out because we couldn't have stopped going 100 miles an hour. You're going to hit them. And you hit them in the side door, you're going to kill them at 100 miles an hour. And I thought, Lord, and I said, what was I thinking? I wasn't thinking. The problem is, you don't want to go through your whole life not thinking. Because that's a travesty. We got to consider some things. Some careful consideration when it comes to life. You know, and especially when you come to the house of God. You know, there are some things that we should stop and consider. Now, in the book of Ecclesiastes, this word consider is mentioned seven times. Seven is the number of perfection. So, obviously, there's some things we need to consider. I'll give you an example. If you'll look in chapter number 7, and in verse number 13 and 14, he says, consider the work of God, who can make that straight which he hath made crooked. In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider... God have also set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. You got to consider that the things of life that happen and why they happen. And again, no one takes time to consider how they got to where they're at. People are at the rescue mission and they don't even know how they got there. Well, they got there because of bad decisions in life. And the problem is that they never take time to consider. You know, they say insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. You say, why do people do that? Because they don't stop and consider what they're doing. You know, if you're digging a ditch and you're in the ditch, the best thing you do is stop digging. Isn't that what they say? Stop digging. But you got to consider some things. What am I doing wrong? And why am I having all these problems in my life? And people don't take time to consider some things. Now, when it comes to the house of God, man, there's some things to consider. And he starts out in verse number 1 in our text. And just a way of introduction, there's three things here. But he says, keep thy foot when thou go when thou goest into the house of God. He said, keep thy foot. Now, you know, please don't misunderstand me what I'm saying tonight. I know and believe, and you do too, that we have access to the throne of God. Amen. I'm glad Hebrews 4:14 is in the Bible. Let us therefore come boldly on the... Well, matter of fact, look at... that's verse 16, but look at verse number 14. Go ahead and look at it. And it's better to read it right than to hear me misquote it. So, Hebrews chapter number... I didn't get all my nap today, so... Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number... Hebrews 4 and in verse number... 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, we know that we have access to God's throne. Thank God. Amen. We know that we have acceptance to Almighty God. We're accepted in the beloved because of Jesus Christ. So don't mistake what I'm saying here tonight. Hey, God wants us to come into His presence. God wants us to call upon Him. God wants us to, you know, I tell folks, you know, many times I said, you should have called me. I would have helped you with that. You know, I've said before, you don't have to be afraid to call the preacher up. You know, preacher, I'm sorry, you're not bothering me. It's okay. I am your pastor. Right? So if you call me and you need something, you're not bothering me. I am your pastor. That is what I do. Right? Isn't that what a pastor does? He takes care of the sheep. So if you need something, you call me. You're not bothering me. You know? And that's what I'm supposed to do as a pastor. That's part of my calling. It's like a child saying, Mom and Dad, I'm sorry to bother you. You're not bothering me. We want to hear from you. You know? It's never a bother when the kids call up and need something or want something or whatever. I don't care what it is. It's not a bother. Why? Because they're our children. And God is the same way. Now, having said that, do I have pleasure in people's foolishness? You know, if someone calls you up, Pastor, I'm trying to give you an example without messing up the other example. I got a piece of something stuck in my tooth. Okay. You ever hear of dental floss? Come on now, be real. That's much foolishness, right? And you know, hey, get out you need some dental floss, but you understand what I'm saying? Please don't wake me up at 6 in the morning and tell me you got something stuck in between your teeth. That's a bunch of foolishness. You understand the difference between what I'm saying here? If you're broke down on the side of the road, you call me at 6 in the morning, I'll get right out of bed and come over, because that's important. But if you got some chicken stuck in between your teeth, you know, you ate over it, you went to Chick-fil-A, don't call me. That's foolishness, right? There's a difference. You understand what I'm saying here? And that's why I say keep your foot when you go into the house of God. And again, because, you know, though we have access and acceptance, God also, when it comes to, we have accountability when it comes to activities. And God doesn't have any pleasure in foolishness. You understand what I'm saying here? And that's why he says in verse 1, keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. In the Old Testament, you just didn't approach God any old way you wanted to. Now, I think that's played out throughout the Old Testament. Remember the sons of Aaron over there in Leviticus chapter number 10? Look over there, Leviticus 10. Nadab and Abihu. They're the high priest of God. And God has told them, you know, at the beginning of anything, God always handles people more severely than he does at the end. Because when you get down to the end of Israel before they go into captivity, they're doing all kind of evil things in the house of God. They're worshiping devils in there. They portrayed things in there. They're burning all kind of incense. And God is not judging them on the spot like he did Nadab and Abihu. Because, hey, God's long-suffering and at the end of thing is not like the beginning of it. But Nadab and Abihu, the tabernacle has just been set up, and they've been given instructions of what they're supposed to do. And when you read that, chapter number 10, he tells them and what they're supposed to do. But look in chapter 10 and verse number 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them a censer and put fire therein, put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. and they went there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. Before all people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. God killed both of those boys because they offered a strange fire before the Lord. And God judged them instantly, instantly. You read over there in verse number 8, the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. And it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. God said, I ain't tolerating that stuff. Now, years later, in the Judges, remember what Eli's boys did? Eli's boys are having sex with women at the door of the tabernacle. And they've corrupted the offerings. They're taking the best of the offerings for themselves. They're not burning the fat. They're doing everything wrong. Now, the fire of God doesn't fall on them, but you know what God said? You two boys are going to die for what you're doing. I'm going to kill you. And God did kill Eli's son, Hophni and Phinehas. I think it was. Anyway, he killed those two boys. Why? Because they were making a mockery of the church service. And God has no pleasure in fools. I believe there's some things you can't get away with. And you can't get away with trying to make a fool out of God. You can't get away with that. And God said, when you're in the house of God, you got to be careful what you're doing, because God has no pleasure in fools. He says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. And be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fool, for they consider not that they do evil. I'm just of the opinion that we ought to give God our best, whatever that is. Whatever that is, God deserves our best. You know? And I try and be neat and clean when I come to church. You know? Why? Because I want to give God my best when I come. Now, you can only do so much with ugly. I get that. But you can be clean. Your hair can be combed. Right? And come on. You know what I'm saying? If I forget to shave, I'm upset. Because I said, God, I'm sorry. I didn't give you my best. You know? And, you know, if I had a beard, I would trim it. Right? Nothing wrong with having a beard. Nothing wrong with being clean shaven. But there's something wrong with being dirty. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to be dirty. I don't want to be smelly. I want to be clean. I want to give God my best. And again, keep your foot when you go in the house of God. And that's important, because it shows your attitude towards God. It does. There was a missionary. He was in Botswana. And that was when it was broke up in South Africa. And he came into the chief's office in Botswana, and he tripped on in there with just the pants and a shirt, and with no tie or no nothing. And the chief said, "You know who I am?" And he said, "You're the chief." He says, "No, do you know who I am?" He says, "You're the chief." And he told him the third time, "You know who I am?" He says, "Sir, you're the chief." And he said, "You better believe I'm the chief. I run this country. And next time you come in here, you better be dressed like I run this country." Next time he came in with a suit on, because he was in the presence of the chief. He said, "You're disrespecting me." He said, "I know you're American, and I know you have a suit, and I know you wear a suit to church. And you're going to come into my office with a suit on." Now, again, it's about what? Respect. Now, he said, "What if I own a suit?" Fine, you don't have to own a suit. But whatever your best is, you ought to give it to God. Right? Whatever your best is. And again, you know, it's not about how much money you have. It's about the condition of your heart to want to give God your best. We had people in Trinidad, they were so poor. And the best they had was, honest to God, was rags. We had people come to church in green garbage bags. We didn't throw them out. I always said, if the best you got's a green garbage bag, come on in. And they came on in. That didn't bother me. I wasn't offended by that. That was the best they had. Now, If someone came in with a green garbage bag, you better believe I'd be taking them somewhere to get them something. Because if we can help them, we should help them, right? But understand what I'm saying here. It's the heart condition, the attitude of the heart. And with David, look over in David with David in 2 Samuel. When they were bringing the Ark of God to Jerusalem, David's bringing the Ark of God to Jerusalem, and David's being a little careless when it comes to the Almighty Holy God of Israel. And, you know, God doesn't have pleasure in fools. You got to keep your feet when you go to the house of God. And this ark was a special place where God met with the nation of Israel on the mercy seat to for cleanse and forgive sin. And David's being a little careless with this thing. Saul had forsaken it. They hadn't worshipped God for 20 years. And now David wants to reinstitute the worship in Jerusalem. And so he gathers everybody together to bring up the Ark of God. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse number 1. Then David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baali of Judah to bring up from thence the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelt between the cherubims. And they set the Ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah in Ahio, drove the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. Now, their first error here is the Ark of God was never to be put upon a cart. But see, you know what's happening when you don't consider what you're doing? David should have known better. He's the man after God's own heart. He's wore the ephod. He's been in the presence of God. And he says, we're going to take a shortcut. Can I tell you, in worshiping God, there are no shortcuts? You better consider what you're doing. We're approaching a holy, almighty God that made heaven and earth and made you. You know, and you got to think about what you're doing. It's like that young man in Trinidad who called Jesus Christ JC, and the pastor corrected him on the spot. That's not how we refer to Jesus Christ. He's the Almighty Son of God. And we don't refer to him in casual terms like JC. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the Ark of God, and Ahio went before the Ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels, on cornets and on cymbals. Are they worshiping God? People say, well, if you're worshiping God, it doesn't matter what you do. Oh, yes, it does. Well, we're all going to strip naked up here and worship God and dance. No, you're creating lust, and that's evil. Right? And again, we got a lot of craziness going on that people haven't thought about, whether God's pleased with that or not. We're going to have a rock band and a light show. How is that worshiping God? You know, something's wrong with what you didn't think this thing through, that's for certain. Is God pleased with that? Is he? And when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Now, no one was allowed to touch that ark of God but the priest. The high priest. Their intentions were good, but the way they were doing it was bad. I don't believe everyone's intentions are bad when it comes to bad worship. I think their intentions sometimes are good. They're just going about it in the wrong way. And they never take time to consider that God might not be pleased with it, because they don't know what God's word says. Do you think Uzzah knew what God said? Do you think he'd have really touched the Ark of God if he had known what God said about the Ark of God? Uzzah was uneducated. He's a soldier. What does he know about the Holy God? Of course, he found out about the Holy God because God smote him for his error. And look what it says. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Para-Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come home to me? Now, the real problem here is David's mad at God. Can I tell you, anytime you're mad at God, you've made a mistake. Never blame God for your problems. You say, well, my son died, my wife died, my husband died, my children died. Okay, we don't blame God for that. Everybody dies. Everybody dies. I lost this, I lost that. Hey, everybody has these problems. If you're alive in the morning when you get out of bed, you got a lot to be thankful for. Never blame God. Oh, I have cancer. Don't blame God. Well, I have heart trouble. Don't blame God. I have this, I have that. Hey, we're not blaming God for anything. We're going to meet Him. Hallelujah, He's prepared a place for us. We ain't blaming God for nothing. You got to consider what it is you're saying here. So David has some time to think about it. He takes it on over there to Obed-Edom's house, and God blesses Obed-Edom's house for the next 6 months. Look over there in 1 Chronicles 15. 1 Chronicles 15. So David has some time to consider. And David thinks about it. And he says, you know what? We didn't do this thing the right way. Look at 1 Chronicles 15, verse 1. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. And David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord into its place, which he had prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites. And he goes down there and talks about all those people he got together there, okay? And notice what it says in verse number 11. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar, the priest, and for the Levites, and for Uriel and Asaiah and Joel and Shemaiah and Eliel and Aminadab, and said unto them, ye are chief of the fathers of the Levites, sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel out of the place that I have prepared for it. For because you did it not the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. You got to be careful. You got to seek God in the right way. Hey, if you don't approach God in the right way, you're not getting anything from him. People say, how should we pray? In Jesus' name. Isn't that how Jesus commanded us to pray? He said, you ask the Father, and you ask it in Jesus' name. You think you're getting anything if you come to God with a smart aleck attitude? Or approach him in the wrong way? God says, I don't know who you think you're talking to, but that's not how you talk to me. And again, hey, keep your foot when you go into the house of God. Consider what it is you're doing. I think a lot of people, they wouldn't do what they're doing in churches as we speak if they took a minute to think about what it is they're doing and what God has said about that. Do you really think that these sodomites and these people that are completely out of order will come into a church and pretend that God is pleased with it when God says it's an abomination? I mean, come on, it's an abomination. People committing adultery in the church and thinking that God's pleased with it. God is not pleased with that. I mean, you hear about this stuff, all that stuff out there with Jerry Falwell and his wife and the pool boy and all that stuff. And you're thinking, how in the world can they think God is pleased with that? And I'm just shaking my head. Hey, we need to keep our foot when we come into the house of God. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Hey, we ought to be striving for holiness in our lives. But not only that, keep your mouth. Keep your foot and keep your mouth. He says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not my mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities, but God, but fear thou God. Now, keep in your mouth when it comes to the house of God. You know, people make promises all the time. And I really wish they wouldn't. Because when you tell God you're going to do something, you know what God expects you to do? He expects you to do what you said you're going to do. He has no pleasure in fools. God's not making you do it. God speaks to your heart, and your heart is enlarged. Say, I am going to do this. God didn't make you make that promise. But what does God expect you to do when you make that promise? Fulfill it. Do the thing that God has asked you to do. Because God has no pleasure in fools. And we know Proverbs 29 says that a fool uttereth all his mind. A fool can't help himself, right? And a foolish person is always talking. Diarrhea of the mouth is dangerous. You know, there's a time to shut up and listen. Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Proverbs 18 and verse number 13. It doesn't hurt to be quiet every now and then and take in what's happening around you. Proverbs 18:13. It says, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and shame unto him. You gotta listen. You know? And you gotta be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Again, when it comes to giving people advice and giving people instruction, you know, you got to be careful when it comes to this kind of stuff. That's why James, in James chapter 1 and verse number 16, and we're bringing it to a close tonight, but James 1, 16 to 19, James said this in verse 16. He said, do not err, my beloved brethren. I think that's what I want. Yeah, it is. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, being slow to speak is you got to listen to what people are saying. You know, sometimes I'm listening to people when I'm trying to do marriage counseling or help parents with their children. And I'm thinking to myself, you're not listening to what they're saying. A husband's not hearing what his wife is saying. A wife is not hearing what the husband is saying. Parents are not perceiving what their children are telling them. You ever been mad at your children? And you don't care what they say because they're wrong and they're going to get it. Now, we know they're wrong and they know they're wrong. But why are they doing what's wrong? And that's where, as parents, we make the mistake. What is causing this behavior? Are we hearing what they're saying to us? You get caught up with emotion, it's hard to hear. That's why I said be swift to hear and slow to speak. Especially when you come to church. It's better to hear than it is to speak. Hear what people are saying. You know, as a pastor, what I do, I try and hear what they're saying. And the more they talk, the more upset I'm getting. Because I'm listening to what they're saying. And I'm thinking, I'm not saying anything, but I'm taking it in. And I'm saying, man, they have got some serious problems going on right here. And the more they talk, the more alarmed I get. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They said, God, we're going to do this. We're going to sell this land and we're going to give you all the money. And of course, we know God killed them because they lied about it, right? Because God has no pleasure in fools. Just like Nadab and Abihu at the beginning of the tabernacle, God said, I'm not putting up with that. The beginning of the church, God was the same way. I'm not putting up with that. Right? And God dealt severely with people. Now we're way on down here in the 21st century and God's long-suffering and people are doing all kind of things And God's not judging them like he judged Ananias and Sapphira, because it was the beginning of the church. And God wasn't putting up with that. But can I say this? We still got to be careful what promises we're making to God. Because when we tell God we're going to do something, I still think God expects us to carry it through. And, you know, and again, I see people all the time. People have told me all kinds of things the last 18 years. Brother Chris, when I retire, I'm going to do this. And I'm still waiting for them to do it, and it ain't never going to happen. You know? And I've seen that over and over in 40 years of ministry, where people stood up and gave a testimony and said, this is what I'm going to do, and they've never done it to this day. Hey, be swift to hear and slow to speak. Think about what you say you're going to do before you make a promise to do it. And even as pastor, I got to be careful about that. Because people are, when I tell them I'm going to do something, are they expecting me to do it? They are expecting me to do it. And you know, I fail sometimes in that area. Just because of my age, I'll promise people all kinds of things, and I forget what I promised them. I'll get off the phone, Ms. Lisa will say, who was that? And what did you tell them you were going to do? And I'll be thinking, who was that? And what did I just tell them I was going to do? And when I was going to do it. He said, you don't even know who that was and what you told them. I said, hopefully they'll ask me about it. You ever put passwords in on the computer? If I don't have a pad and a piece of paper, it's over with. I mean, Lisa says, you crack me up. You don't even know. Now hold on a minute. She's running for the paper and the pad. Hold on a minute. Because then you got to get on there and you got to undo everything because you don't even know what you put in there. I wish I had a photographic memory, but I don't. And if anyone happens to call me up and I've been napping, there's no telling what I just told you I would do. If you call me and I say, yeah, I was taking a nap, all bets are off. Because I'm knocking the cobwebs out, and by the time I hang up, I don't even know who I just talked to. Right? So what are you doing, Brother Chris? I'm taking a nap. Okay, well, I'll call you back in a few minutes. You'd be well to do that. I have good intentions. But good intentions are not enough, right? Especially if it's important. You know? That's why I don't want to come to church and sleep. You might promise God, who knows what you promised him. You got to be careful what we're promising God. Because I guarantee you, when you tell God you're going to do something, he absolutely expects you to do it. And I don't want to be a fool. Hey, keep your foot, keep your mouth, and keep God's message. We're not supposed to be forgetting what God tells us. And that's what he's saying here. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. Hey, we better remember, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for the whole duty of a man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it's good or whether it's evil. God expects us to keep the message. You know why we keep our foot and keep our mouth? Because we remember to fear God. The whole problem today is there's what? No fear of God. And that's why we're failing. I promise you, there's a lot of things wouldn't be happening in churches if people feared God. They'd be too afraid to do what they do. You wouldn't see a yard sale inside a church building. They'd be too afraid to do that. You wouldn't have people messing around in the church building. They'd be too afraid to do that. You wouldn't have these things happening that are happening all across the nation with God's people. They'd be too afraid to. to do what they're doing. There's no fear of God. And yet, somehow they think God is going to bless everything they're doing. And that they're spiritual and God is with them. You know what they've done? It's just like the priest who went and burnt their children to Adrammelech or to Baal or one of the false gods, burned their children in the fire and killed them in the morning, and then went to the temple that afternoon to worship God. And God said, how dare you come into my house after you just sacrificed your children to devils? How dare you do that? God said, I'm not accepting your worship, and God's Spirit withdrew. But the people didn't care. What's going to happen when Jesus sounds the trumpet and we leave? Well, people are going to go to church next Sunday, just like they always did. And they're going to think that God is in their presence, just like they always thought. And they're not going to have the inkling that God is not with them. Because they've been deceived. And worship will continue after Jesus Christ comes. And they don't even know what they're worshiping. Boy, don't we have some things to consider? We'll get to the message next week. Got four or five things we ought to consider as a child of God. I'm preaching to the Christian tonight. We're not talking to sinners. We're talking to Christian people. And when it comes to worshiping God, what did God tell that woman of Samaria? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. For God seeketh such to worship him. God is looking for worshipers to worship him in spirit and truth. And that's why we ought to be careful when we come to the house of God. And how we approach, though we have access and though we have acceptance, there's a way to come unto God. And there's a way to be pleasing to an almighty God. And we all should consider what God has said when it comes to that. Let's stand for prayer. Miss Susan, you come play something. We'll pray, we'll say amen, and we'll go home. Glad you came tonight. We ought to remind ourselves from time to time and think about what we're doing and how we are doing it, so that God will be pleased with what it is we're doing. You know what the greatest thing that ever happened in Jesus Christ's life? When the Father said, this is my beloved Son, this is my beloved Son, and I am pleased with him. You know what we want God to be? Pleased with us. We want God to be pleased with us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word tonight. Pray that you'd bless it. And God, we do want to worship you in spirit and truth. And we do want the hand of God and the approval of God and the blessing of God upon our worship, upon our church, upon our families. And God, we want to be careful to keep our foot and to keep our mouth. And Lord, to keep what you've commanded. God, that you might bless us in our daily lives. Bless, Lord, as we go from this place, that we might honor and glorify you. And that someone might come to know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, we ask for your power, your help, and your grace. Bless now as we pray and bring this service to a close. In Jesus' name. And Susan, just play that through a couple times.